Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And one of the things I really love is design thinking. I write about it often in my blog. It's something I mention here in this podcast. And I had a chance to go to the Netherlands last week and help lead a workshop and do a keynote and a final talk in connection to this thing called EDX, which was an educational design expedition. And it was a really cool experience. And so I want to share kind of the story of what I got to do there and my big takeaways about what that experience taught me about design thinking. So last week, I stepped off the train and walked into the bustling streets of Eindhoven. I had never been to the Netherlands, much less Europe. I mean, I'm a kind of pretty typical American dude in that respect. I'm not a world traveler. So I instantly became that obnoxious American taking quick snapshots with my phone, attempting to soak up the feel of the city. And my first thought was, man, every dude here is like 6'4" and 140 pounds. I felt kind of short and pudgy. But after that, I lost myself in the city. As I walked the meandering brick streets, I set my phone in my pocket, and I just watched the golden hour sunlight illuminate a cathedral. And it struck me in that moment that I was surrounded by a world of design. That cathedral, those winding streets, the shops, the clothes, the iPhone, people designed all of those things, painstakingly designed them with a sense of intentionality and through hours and hours and sometimes even years of work. But also those invisible designs, like the things that I too often don't pay attention to, those were fascinating to me too. Like the way you could easily walk as a pedestrian, not get hit by a cyclist, which is not always true of Amsterdam. Or the sound design creating audio cues to let us know when it was time to walk. Everything around me was designed by someone, or more often designed by a community. Now, I realize that this isn't earth-shattering to think of the world as being fully designed. But it was a reminder for me that creativity is all around when we're paying attention. And although I was there to give a keynote and help facilitate a 3-day workshop, standing there in the streets of Eindhoven had the sense that I wasn't there to teach. I was there to learn. And that night I had dinner with Joachim and Trevor, and I was struck by the beauty of simple designs all around us, like the way the restaurant did their menus, or the way the bike racks worked outside, or the font choice in a nearby advertisement. I was surrounded by beautiful design. But as we geeked out on ideas and shared our stories, it was also a reminder that the best design often goes unnoticed because of the quiet way it brings people together. And for me, that was the overall theme of my week in Eindhoven. It was this idea of the human element of design. I spent the rest of my time listening as much as possible, asking as many questions as I could, and trying my hardest to be present in the moment. And so as a result, I thought I would share my key takeaways. So the first takeaway is that great design is story-driven. Now, I have this friend, Trevor Muir, and he is all about this idea of story. In fact, as his publisher, I got a chance to publish The Epic Classroom, and I read his book so many times, reread it, helped edit it. I knew that he was passionate about story. But he gave this powerful keynote on the role of epic stories and how that connects to project-based learning. And it was a really cool experience. I've never seen so many people locked into a story, hands free of their devices, eyes focused on the storyteller. It was, like I said, powerful. And for the next 2 days, people talked through their design ideas with this lens of story. Number two, ask teachers to redesign their practice first. I was a little skeptical of this idea. The leaders at Fontys wanted teachers to begin with a problem they wanted to solve or an idea they wanted to pursue. They then broke into teams and chose one person's idea as the key focus area. What would happen when people wanted to innovate within their own context, only to find that they had to work on another person's project? I was worried about that. You know, what would there be pushback? Would people be upset? And there was. There was initially a little bit of pushback. But as each group formed into these tight collaborative teams, something happened. Complete strangers began to trust each other and to share openly as they asked questions, engage in research, and design solutions. And so even if they weren't, you know, solving the problem that they had hoped to solve, they were learning this process of problem solving that was incredibly inquiry-driven and empathy-driven. In the past, when I've done, you know, design thinking workshops, I tend to focus on doing some kind of hands-on design project that mirrors the type of thing students will be doing. But there was something about having them going through this design thinking process and innovating in their own practice that made it so much more relevant. And by the time they launched their finished prototypes, they'd created the kinds of educational experiences I would want my own kids to experience. And that was really cool to see. All right, number three, teachers everywhere have the same fears. Now, whether it's in China, Canada, the US, or in Holland, teachers experimenting with design thinking experience these same fears. You know, what about the test? What about my principal and my leadership? What will parents think? What about the time factor? And these fears are universal. And it takes a certain level of courage to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and use design thinking anyway. I once created this sketch note showing all of my fears. And I thought it was something that was just me. But as I've shared this, you know, the things I was worried about, these are universal fears. These are what we all experience. And again, to me, that's a reminder of the power of working in a group, because something about that allows you to have more support. I guess maybe it's just the whole, there's more power in numbers, right? When you're designing something in a community and it's not working perfectly, that's okay, because you're all committed to making it actually work. All right, number four, the design thinking process is uncomfortable, frustrating, and disruptive. So embrace that. We hit a moment in the second day when just about every group looked angry. I mean, they were upset. And they were attempting to clarify exactly what they wanted to create, and they just couldn't get there. I remember wondering if maybe we had made a mistake by allowing them to wade into these frustrations for so long. Maybe we were doing design thinking wrong. Maybe it just wasn't going to work. And yet these were the same emotions my middle school students used to experience all the time. See, creativity isn't always fun. Sometimes it's frustrating or boring. And sometimes it's so hard you just want to give in. We tend to view creative work with these images of kids skipping through the grass and running around in rainbows. But design is gritty. It's hard. It's frustrating, it's nerve-wracking, and it's totally worth it in the end. There was a moment when Peter, one of the guides along the way, this amazing facilitator, led the group through an open Socratic seminar exploring what it was like for people to go through the design process. And as you can see, if you look at the picture, there's some sense of frustration. There's some, you know, folded arms. There's some faces that aren't incredibly happy. But then each member also spoke about the power of the design thinking process. They described how they plan to use it with their students. In other words, they were incredibly grateful for this experience. Was it easy? No way. But it was life-changing. And as one teacher put it, I hated the feeling of not having a solution, and I wish I'd had more time. But I also want to use this to redesign all of my units. this is the first time I've designed things with my students in mind. All right, number five, I alluded to this, but it's this idea that being a guide on the side isn't easy. We often hear people use phrases like, just be a guide on the side and let the students do the work. But the best guides know the art of being on the side. They know that it can be difficult when you're using design thinking and that being a guide requires more than simply showing up. Guides know when to push someone and then when to pull them back up when they're feeling down. They understand what it means to speak truth, but to do so with humility. They are always present, but they have this ability to look invisible. I learned so much about the art of being a guide by watching three different facilitators who were all unique and all had their own personality and approach and style, but had these common traits of being able to listen and being humble and being approachable. Number six, there's power in the vintage. I'm going to get into this a little bit more in the upcoming weeks as I explore, you know, project-based learning and some of those topics. But it's just a thought that's been on my mind a lot, which is that we need vintage tools. We need analog things. One of the highlights of this experience had nothing to do with design. Joachim gave each group fire starters and asked them to create their own fires. It was a simple idea and totally old school, but it was epic. It was memorable. It was something that people talked about a lot. Now, we often talk about the creative and connective power of technology. I'm a huge fan of it. But in design thinking, it thrives with these moments that are totally old school and vintage. It's what happens when we make things with duct tape and cardboard, when we dialogue in person, giving eye contact, sharing experiences, having Socratic seminars, when we sketch out ideas on sketch notes rather than always using the iPads. Notice that nearly all of the tools, if you look at the picture of the blog post that corresponds to this, they're almost all lo-fi and tangible and analog. You see post-it notes and markers and big chunks rolls of butcher paper. Not that we actually did any butchering on it. I want to be clear. We didn't use butcher papers to, you know, butcher anything. But is that why it's called butcher paper? I think that's why it's called butcher paper. I think like people, butchers used to actually use that paper with meat. Anyway, the idea is that it's vintage, and vintage is a good thing. All right, number seven. It's not about the process or the product. It's about the people. Do you notice something different about this? A man asked me. Yeah, people are talking during the breaks, I pointed out. He nodded. Yeah, they're talking without their devices. And this was true. We were in a break time when people would typically check social media or look at their email, but instead they were talking together. And this was just an extension of something deeper. We had broken bread together, sharing meals in a leisurely way. We had told stories. We had made stuff together. We had designed together. And people who were once strangers were now friends. And so the bottom line for me is that I went into this experience expecting to share the details of how different the Dutch culture is to the American culture. But for me, this was a reminder of something that transcends culture. The power of the human experience. Yes, we created products. True, we learned a process, but it's not about the products or the process. It's about the people. It's about the relationships you develop when you work together to make something awesome. That right there, that's where the real magic happens. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoyed this show, would you leave a positive review on iTunes or Stitcher? Have a wonderful day. Thank you for listening, and go out and make something awesome.